I'll be reading Psalm 100, 1 through 2. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. All the earth serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Thank you, Colby. Morning, church. I'm with Devin and with Scott and all who mentioned the nice cool temperatures. What a nice treat that is in the middle of July and August. What a great day to come together to praise God and to encourage one another. If you're a visitor, you're an honored guest. We're glad to have you here. Whether you're in person or online, we're grateful for all who are joining us. And just FYI, this is a body of believers who have decided that we're not going to embrace the cultural idea of we're consumers. We don't come here to worship, to be satisfied, to have the songs that we like. And we don't bring our preferences with us. We bring a desire to be disciples. We long to be more like Christ. And we express our desire for discipleship by belonging and learning and serving. And so this is a body of believers who seek to be more like Christ. We are imperfect, just like anybody other body of believers, but we set as our goal to be like Christ. This morning I want to invite you to pretend with me for just a minute. Two of my favorite words, let's pretend. So I hope you'll pretend with me for just a moment. First of all, factual, our youngest daughter, mine and Jan's youngest daughter, is gifted musically. We have no idea where that came from. It didn't come from her parents, but she is gifted musically. And so she understands music. She plays several different instruments. She taught herself piano and taught herself left and right hand, which I had known nothing about that except that's supposed to be impressive. So she has a musical gift. So that's true. Now, for the rest of that, let's pretend together. Let's pretend that our youngest daughter decided she wanted to write a song about how much she wanted to use her musical gifts and talents to write a song about how much she loved her mom and dad. Okay. If you wonder why that's not working very well, it's because I didn't have it on. I didn't finish getting dressed this morning. I'm sorry. I was too busy enjoying the worship service, the song service, and I didn't pay attention. Can you hear me now? All right, so our youngest daughter uses her musical gifts and talents to write a song about how much she loves her mom and dad. We're pretending. She wants to express her love for us as how we nurtured her and encouraged her when she was growing up. She wants to express her love for us as how we support her and encourage her as an adult, and how she knows that we will be with her forever in the future, always there in her corner. So she writes these words of adoration to us. And last I checked, her favorite genre of music was Christian rock. And so because that's her favorite, then she takes her words and puts them to a Christian rock tune, and then she comes and performs it for mom and dad at our anniversary. How do you think we would respond? How would you respond if someone you loved used their gifts and talents to express their love for you and appreciation for you and came and wanted to make that very special? I know my heart would melt. You know that I'm a guy whose eyes leak very easily, and I can just imagine that my chin and my shirt and my whole face would be a wet mess, just heart melting over this expression of love. There's probably only one way I could imagine that gift being an any better gift, and that was if she took the same words, the same expression of her love for mom and dad, and then went to the effort to find out what is our favorite kind of music, mom's and dad's favorite kind of music, and then write that song and put it to the kind of music that we love most. That's the only way I can imagine that gift would be any better, but I suspect in both ways it would melt our hearts. Church, that's how I view music and worship. I think when people use their God-given gifts and talents to express their love for him, I think it melts his heart. And probably the only way we could give that gift to him any better is to take the effort to find out what does he like best, and then offer those words of love and adoration to him in a form that he likes best. And that's the focus of this morning's lesson. The element of Christian worship we're looking at this morning is music, is singing. And so we're going to talk about what kind of worship pleases God. What does he like best? What can we discern about what he likes best? Well, number one, worship that pleases God includes singing. By the way, did you know all three members of the Godhead sing? All three members of the Godhead sing. God the Father sings. This is from James 5:13. We'll get to the God the Father singing in just a minute. This is why we have song in service. If you're in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. I try to get really cute with my slides this week, both in class and in the sermon, and it's only just come back to haunt me. And so this is the passage that we're using to settle our point about music. Worship that pleases God includes music. If anyone's happy, let him sing praises. Now let's talk about the Godhead singing. The Father sings. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it said, "The Lord your God is with you." This is God the Father. He's mighty to save. He will rejoice over you with singing. God the Father sings. Jesus Christ sings. This is Jesus and his disciples after they shared their last meal together, the Last Supper. He and his disciples sung a hymn. Then they went out to the Mount of Olives. Wouldn't it be cool to know what hymn they sung? But how does the Holy Spirit sing? The Holy Spirit sings through you and me in our spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, and in doing so, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So all three members of the Godhead sing. So worship that pleases God includes singing, James 5:13. And the point I want to make this morning is that a cappella singing, singing with voice only, without the accompaniment of mechanical instruments, is pleasing to God. It honors Scripture. Back to that same passage, that Ephesians 5:19 and 20 passage. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we set out to ask the question, what kind of music pleases God most in this New Testament era? Well, in our time, in the Christian era, what does he like best? I mentioned earlier that I haven't checked with our youngest daughter lately. The last I heard was Christian rock was her favorite. She might change. My tastes have changed over time. So in our Christian era, what does God like best? There are a total of 8 Bible passages in the entire New Testament that deal with music in the New Testament church. And as we go through these 8, and we're going to look at all 8 of them, I want you to keep in mind, just ask yourself as we look at each one of these, is it referring to a cappella, just voice only? Is it referring to voice with a mechanical or instrumental accompaniment? Or is it referring just to instruments like harps and lyres and zithers and flutes? What kind of music is this referring to in the New Testament passages? The first one is in Matthew 26, verse 30. We looked at that just a second ago. When they'd sung a hymn, voice singing. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Another time, I'd like to know what hymns were they singing. What do they find appropriate to sing in a jail cell that would lift them up and encourage others? Romans chapter 15, I'll praise you among the Gentiles and I will sing the praises of your name. That word sing is the Greek word solo. We might spell that P-S-A-L-L-O or L-L-O-W, solo, the P is silent. It's where we get our word psalm. The book of Psalms is a book of songs or verses to be sung. So I will praise you among the nations, Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. By the way, Romans 15 verse 9 is a quote from the Old Testament. It's a quote from 2 Samuel chapter 22 and Psalm chapter 18. Next, 1 Corinthians 14. I will sing, I will solo with my spirit, but I'll also solo with my mind. I will sing words I understand, and I will sing words with understanding. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That word, sing and make music, that make music, some translations have say melody. That's a version of solo. That's solontes. There's a different ending on it. And the Greek word there, solo, originally meant to pluck the strings of an instrument. Now, words evolve. You just think about it. As long as a language is in use, words evolve. You think about 1940s. If you're a fan of old movies like me, and I like old movies, though sometimes almost the older the better. In 1930s, 1940s movies, you'd see the word gay used to express somebody who's joyous, someone who's happy. That word's evolved. So language evolves. When that word solo was originally used, it was originally used to pluck the strings of an instrument, but it has evolved by the time it's written, it's used by the New Testament authors, so that now the instrument we use is our heart. Sing and make music. Sing solo in your heart. So we pluck the strings of our heart. And so what I like to say is we do bring an instrument to music. It's our heart. And so here's the thought. If we come to worship and we either don't sing, or we come to worship and we sing like robots, I've sung this song a million times, I can do it in my sleep, and so I think I will, then we fail to solo. We fail to pluck the heartstrings. And so we come and we worship, and we sing with our voices, but we also engage our hearts in our singing. Ephesians 5:19. Colossians chapter 3. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. I will sing your praises. And James chapter 5 and verse 13. Let him sing songs of praise. Let him sing psalms. Let him soletto from psalm. You notice something about all eight of those verses? Well, I'm talking about singing. I'm talking about voice. And if there's any instrument involved, it's not a mechanical instrument, it's a God-given instrument, it's our heart. And we pluck the strings of our heart. We engage our heart and we sing with our heart. Even the two, by the way, this last one, Hebrews 2:12, the second to the last one we have there, I will declare your name to my brothers. That's an Old Testament quote as well. That's from Psalm 22, verse 22. So this is fascinating. All eight verses, by the way, eight isn't that many because there's hundreds of verses that deal with singing or music in the Old Testament. All eight verses, when we look at those, what do they entail? They entail voice, a cappella. None of them ask for us to have a mechanical instrument. None of us ask for us to have a mechanical instrument of accompanying a voice. The instrument brings our heart to accompany the voice. And what I find fascinating even with this, that's enough evidence right there that should catch our attention, right? Eight samples, all the information we have about music in the New Testament, and all of it has to do with singing with your voice. But what I find even more compelling is the two New Testament quotes that refer to Old Testament passages, the Romans 15 and the Hebrews passage. The Old Testament quotes they chose were a cappella, had dealt with singing. And in the Old Testament, God ordained instruments and music. God gave people gifts and talents to be able to create instrumental music and be able to play instrumental music. And he welcomed instrumental music in the Old Testament. But he inspired the New Testament writers to talk about a cappella singing. And even when they quoted the Old Testament, they chose Old Testament passages that deal with a cappella singing. Now, let's be fair. In the interest of full disclosure, there's our two Old New Testament passages that quote the Old Testament. There's no passage of Scripture that declares thou shalt not use mechanical instruments in worship. Let's be fair about that. In fact, the Bible just depicts mechanical instruments in use in Old Testament worship. Psalm 98 verse 5, Psalm 150 verse 5. We could spend the rest of our time going through the Psalms. I'll read for you out of 1 Chronicles 16:42. It won't be on the screen, but I want to share it with you anyway. 1 Chronicles 16:42. Haman and Jeduthun were responsible for the sounding of the trumpets and cymbals and for the playing of the other instruments for sacred song, for musical instruments of God. So God ordained mechanical instruments in the Old Covenant. Scripture depicts mechanical instruments used in heavenly worship, Psalm 150, Revelation 5. And so here's what I believe is a fair assessment. It seems unlikely that God would find music in worship accompanied by mechanical instruments ordained in the Old Testament, depicted in heavenly worship, and then in a complete anathema and abominable God in the New Testament. But if we're asking ourselves, what is he like most? And what's the evidence that he provides for us in his word of what he enjoys most? What pleases him most? I think the eight passages that we have, from four or five different authors, by the way, it's not as though there's one person with a bone to pick, and so they're just harping on, you know how preachers get on the soapbox? I would never do that, but you know, some preachers get on the soapbox. It's not just one author getting on the soapbox and just hammering this point over and over again. Depending on how you decide who's the author of Hebrews, there's four to five different authors with these eight different verses and these two Old Testament quotes, and all of them are in harmony with the Holy Spirit, in harmony with their will to write about a cappella singing. That I believe, if the question is what's most pleasing to God, in all humility, I suggest that's information we ought to pay attention to. That's information we ought to calculate in our desire to please God. What is most pleasing to God in this new covenant? So worship that's pleasing to God includes singing with our voices, with our hearts, and a cappella singing accomplishes God's purposes. The scriptures that we've looked at tells us what God wants us to accomplish in our song service. What do we want to do? And I really am grateful to Todd for his song service, because you're going to recognize this, many of the songs that are listed here as songs that we've already sung in our song service. We've already employed these, and we've already exercised God's desire for us in worship. Because number one, singing is a way of proclaiming Christ. Right? All hail the power of Jesus' name. Singing is a way of confessing faith in Christ. I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able. Singing is a way of expressing the Holy Spirit's presence. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Singing reminds us of Christ's sacrifice. Singing helps us express our hope of salvation. Singing is a way of confessing faith in Christ. Singing is a way to remind us of Christ's sacrifice. Singing is a way to help us, encourage us to grow in Christ's image. And singing calls us to unity. So here's the song service with the question, with a sincere attempt to answer the question, what pleases God most in this New Testament era? So let's come into God's presence with singing. Colby read it for us, Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All the earth, serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. So here's just a few thoughts. Number one, the choice for a cappella music and singing, voice only, is not a choice that should be made out of arrogance. We're better at discerning the scriptures than those people. We're smarter than they are. We're holier than they are. This is not an attempt to try to elevate us. If it is, we're doing it wrong. It's not an attempt to show out. I don't need a mechanical instrument because I just want to show you how good I can sing. That's not the goal here. But like I mentioned with our youngest daughter, the only way that her gift to me could be any better, me and Jan, is she would ask us, you know, what do you like best? And to get out of her comfort zone and to create words, music to go with the words that she's created, to express her love for us, to get out of what she likes and what's normal for her and what her preferences are and go, I'm going to give this to you in the way that you prefer. That's the same goal of this study in music. Maybe we need to get out of our comfort zone to come to God in the way that he expresses his preferences. And I find it interesting that the scriptures are unanimous. The scriptures are in complete harmony with what they depict as music in the New Testament, even when they use Old Testament quotes. So the question is not so much, are we better than anybody else? Are we smarter than anybody else? Are we better singers? I remember one time visiting some family in West Texas, and we were going to go worship with them, and they worshiped in a different tribe, and they had instrumental music, and when the great uncle found out that I was a member of the Church of Christ, he goes, "Oh, you guys can sing, let's go." Well, he doesn't know me, but it's not about can we show out. It's about can we give God a gift if we're worshiping Him. How can we make it most pleasing to Him? That's really the goal. And what's interesting is when you think about it, of the five different elements of worship, the one, this is my estimation, you're free to disagree, it seems to me like in my experience, the one that can be ignored the most is our song service. With communion and with our giving, at the very least, we're engaged by passing trays. I mean, it's got to keep us awake during the communion service and during the offering service. By just passing the trays, that may not fulfill God's desire for that moment, but at the very least, we're compelled to be engaged, if nothing else, by receiving and passing the tray. We can clock out during the prayer. You know, someone's up here leading a prayer, and if you're like me, if I'm not focused on what I'm supposed to be doing here, I can clock out and be thinking of something else. We're conditioned to listen when someone's bringing a lesson or a message. We're conditioned from school. When the teacher's talking, you listen. When the teacher's explaining 2 + 2 = 4, then you need to be paying attention. When the professor in college is speaking, you listen. When we're conditioned, when someone's speaking, even in a sermon, that we're conditioned to pay attention. But in our music, in our secular world, music is the one place where it seems to me that we're conditioned to be spectators. I listen to music on the radio. If I'm in a really good mood, I might sing along, but most of the time I just listen. When you go to your child's piano recital, or their choir practice, you're not encouraged to sing along. You're encouraged to listen. When you go to the Linden Symphony Orchestra, you're encouraged to listen. And so our culture kind of trains us. When music comes to play, we become spectators. And yet, the Bible teaches us in worship, we're to be participants. We're part of the organism that gives praise to God. And so here's the closing thought. If you can make a joyful noise in the song service, do so. Make a joyful noise. That's all you're required to do. If you come here and you don't sing because, well, my voice isn't all that good, or I'm just not feeling it today, well, maybe once or twice that's okay. But if that's your habit, please get out of that habit. All you're commanded to do is make a joyful noise, but God wants you to make a joyful noise. If you can make that noise on key and in tempo, even better. But even if my youngest child didn't have a gift for music, if you wanted to write a song and find out what kind of music I like best and put it to that and sing it off tempo and off key, I would still be... my eyes would still be leaking. We're called to please God and to worship Him. And since He's the object of our worship, we don't come here as consumers to be pleased. We come here as disciples who long to be more like Christ. And one of the ways we do that is giving God His worship. Make a joyful noise. If it's on key and on tempo, even better. Let's stand. Let's sing.